From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Now, gotta be honest with you here, I've never named a band, so I can only imagine that it's gotta be difficult coming up with something totally original and memorable, yet not weird or offensive somehow. But just because I've never done it doesn't mean I can't be critical. And I'm sorry, but there are some band names out there that are just plain bad. Hot Tuna comes to mind. Sorry, former Jefferson Airplane members, love your music, can't stand your unappetizing name. Recently, a band name came across my desk that was so gross, I can't even say it on the air. I'll let you go to soundcheck.org to find out what I'm talking about. But later on the show, we'll listen back to our recent conversation about how to ruin your band name. And band members and music fans alike, feel free to weigh in with your thoughts at soundcheck.org. Also on the show, we'll hear a live performance from the aptly and completely unoffensively named Pentatonix. It is a five-person a cappella group that's been racking up hundreds of millions of views on YouTube. But let's begin the show with the world's most used musical sequence. You're probably familiar with this song, Hit the Road Jack by Ray Charles, but have you really listened to it? I mean, really dug deep, listened to that bass line? Because there's some pretty deep musical roots here. A sequence of notes that has been reinterpreted many times for hundreds of years. David Garland, the host of WNYC's Spinning on Air, has identified more than 50 tracks from across Western music that have this same musical footprint. You can find a link to his playlist on our website, soundcheck.org, and he joins me here in the Soundcheck studio to talk about why this four-note pattern is so ubiquitous. Hi, David.
Hi, John. It's good to be here.
So let's bring back Ray Charles for a second here. Tell us what specific sequence of chords we're listening for.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. Da, no more, da, no more. Da, 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 da.
That's the bass line.
Yes.
The bass line here.
It's also the chord sequence, really. It's more than just that line of the... There's more to it. It's harmonized in this way.
A minor, G, F, and E is what you just played on the guitar
Ending
there.
On it, A minor, G, F, E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is that?
That is the diatonic Phrygian tetrachord.
Of course.
At least it is in its sort of single line form. Harmonized in the way I played it, it's known as the Andalusian cadence.
Uh-huh. Is it from Andalusian or flamenco music originally?
Well, it's closely associated with that, but whether or not it's from there is anyone's guess, I think. The interesting thing is Andalusia is the southern tip of Spain, so not far from Africa. So did this little chord sequence come from Africa as so much other music and people did?
Yeah.
I don't know. Possibly.
So those four notes, whether they're harmonized or not, we find them, or you found them, in so many different types of music. How do you go looking for this stuff? Did you crowdsource this? How did this work?
I did a little of that, but it was actually a process of listening for years and years and just making notes. I did a Spinning on Air program on this a couple of years ago, but didn't include nearly as many examples as I did in the new show. I think what first made me particularly conscious of it is a piece for solo violin by a Baroque composer named Heinrich Ignaz Franz von Bieber. It's all a solo violin piece that elaborates on the same bass line that's found in Hit the Road, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And loving that piece made me recognize it in Hit the Road, Jack, and so many other songs. And I just sort of kept a running list and then asked a few friends, musician friends, for suggestions and learned about a few more.
And then found out what this thing is called.
Yes.
The diatonic Phrygian tetrachord.
Yeah. Tetrachord is a chord of four notes, and the whole idea of thinking of it in those terms goes back to the ancient Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally possible that this sequence of notes goes that far back.
So if we're in the key of C, we'd be talking about C, B-flat, A-flat, G.
Exactly.
So you end up on the dominant fifth.
That's right. And that circles you right back to the tonic.
Right.
And so this becomes a very circular and continuous, almost like a...
Like a round?
Yes, and a backdrop for elaboration and storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, I think of the ancient Greeks and their lyres tuned in this way and think of them reciting Homer and, you know, it becomes a kind of journey. It's got a momentum. It's a frame for a story.
So it wants to repeat because
yes.
It cycles back. So
that's
we'll
right.
hear it repeating in all of these songs that are on David's edition of Spinning on Air devoted to this diatonic Phrygian tetrachord, but here's just a couple of excerpts beginning with Nina Simone.
With a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side.
That U2 song, it's bum, 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 bum.
Exactly. And as you heard in Hit the Road, Jack, sometimes the sequence goes quickly. But in the U2, the pace is more like dun, dun, you know, that kind of thing.
So in listening for this, you have to listen beneath the melody very
That's right.
often.
There's, I think in all like 57 excerpts that I included on my show, there's only one song that actually sort of uses it as the melody. It's always the accompaniment. But I think for listeners, that's part of the fun because you're listening past the things that are usually taking your attention and you're listening a little deeper to the things that is underlying it all, the sequence that's underlying it all.
Yeah. What is that one song that uses it as the theme?
It's a kind of an obscure one by a guy named Jerry Jeff Walker. It's called The Ballad of the Hulk. And it's kind of a protest song from the 60s.
The cycle of life is here to see in all its fine simplicity, but the way we live it seems to be something very weird to me, and I cry out.
We're speaking with David Garland, the host of WNYC's Spinning on Air, which for lo these many years has been devoted to all kinds of unusual music. And recently, David has put together a whole program based on this sequence of notes, four notes descending, a whole tone, whole tone, whole tone, half tone.
Yeah.
You, on your show, talk about the collective unconscious.
Yes.
How this might be something that we just kind of tap into without even realizing why. And as I look at this really extensive playlist of songs that goes from classical to jazz to rock to all forms of pop, it is mostly Western. And I'm kind of hard-pressed to, even after hearing this dozens of different ways to think of examples of this, say, in East Asian music or sub-Saharan African music and stuff.
Yeah, I'm very interested to find further examples from other parts of the world. I've heard it in Arabic music.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of sensible, especially with the Andalusian connection.
Right. And which was, you know, a formative influence on Western classical music. We get the piano and the guitar from Arab music.
Mm-hmm. And so I expect a lot more examples could be found there. I have a few examples from South America, and I'm sure there are many more, especially because of the Spanish influence there. And, you know, it's not so far from the most essential sort of Japanese scale. So I think you will find reverberations of this sequence in other parts of the world. But I think it is maybe mainly a Western music phenomenon. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do really think that it's embedded somehow in the makeup of the human brain.
Well, I you know, have you've played the guitar for many years. I have too. Every person who's ever played the guitar has somehow found their way to this A minor G F E. You know, you bar the chord and you just work your way down the neck. So it's sort of built into the instrument in a way.
Yes, but you know, it certainly predates the guitar. And I you know, a lot of us noodling around on the guitar are when we discover that the we're not thinking, oh, I'm playing Hit the Road Jack or something. You just think, hey, that sounds good.
And you don't know, hey, I just found an Andalusian cadence or a Phrygian tetrachord. you find something that works.
Right.
And here are some more examples of this diatonic Phrygian tetrachord in action from this playlist that David Garland has put together. Four-note progression, David, is really evident in two of the three songs we just heard. I mean, Blank Generation, Richard Hell and the Voidoids, pretty easy. Moondog builds that whole piece around the diatonic Phrygian tetrachord and actually uses it as a cadence.
Yeah, it's right there in the kettle drums.
Yeah. But sort of true to form, Simon and Garfunkel, that you were talking about the Baroque composer von Bieber who uses it as like a platform for all kinds of filigrees and ornamentations. Simon and Garfunkel kind of doing the same thing in Hazy Shade of Winter.
Yeah, it's coming and going. It's present in the chorus, but not throughout. Of course, many composers have done this. They make use of it. It's there in the opening bars of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, but Beethoven doesn't just stay with it and repeat it. He elaborates and goes on to other things. But I think one reason the progression is so powerful and compelling is its simplicity. You could hardly, you know, two chords don't really make a sequence. Mm-hmm. You can kind of pivot back and forth, and a lot of songs have used just two chords or three. But this series of four is the one that sort of carries you effectively. Like you say, it becomes this kind of platform or a foundation that's easy to elaborate on. And that's what Moondog was doing, just like Bieber did. Mm-hmm. You know, the kettle drums were repeating that sequence and the brass was elaborating. And
he did, as I say, use it as a cadence, which in musicological terms is something that happens once at the end, brings you back and sets you down where, you know, at the note mm-hmm. that you started from. So he might well have known, hey, I'm going to put an Andalusian cadence here or build my piece on this tetrachord. But sure. as you say, most people just kind of find their way to it and maybe don't even know that that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I really can't imagine that in the 57 examples I include in my show, there's any plagiarism going on. You know, people just keep discovering this.
So why don't we get sick of it?
That's a good question. I think it's the momentum that's generated by it, and its simplicity. It's concise. It moves. It carries you with it mm-hmm. in this kind of turning wheel that travels through time and history.
Well, now I mentioned before, you can see David Garland's full playlist of his Spinning on Air show devoted to this four-note sequence at soundcheck.org. But if you go to the actual show page, you can hear the whole program, and then there's all these comments
yeah.
from listeners saying, well, what about this song and that piece?
Yeah.
And so, you know, for the 57 that you have could easily spawn another 57.
And I think so, yeah.
One of your listeners suggested the White Stripes song, Seven Nation Army. Does that work for you? Does that fit?
I don't know it. I can't know them all.
All right.
But I'm anxious to learn.
Well, take a listen and let me know if this fits into the diatonic Phrygian tetrachord family.
I think so. The guitar is a little out of tune with the recording, but it's there. It's not stated explicitly, but that's one of the beauties of finding this in pieces. Once you start to learn how to listen for it and you know what you're listening for, you'll find it in places where it's not explicit,
yeah.
but it is there underlying the structure.
All right. So thanks to David Garland and to some of his listeners for pointing us in still more directions to find this sequence of four notes. David Garland is host of WNYC's Spinning on Air. David, good to see you.
Good to see you, John. Thanks.
Cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. It'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
Up next, we listen back to our recent visit from the a cappella group Pentatonix, the group that won the reality TV show The Sing-Off a couple of years back. Their videos have been watched hundreds of millions of times on YouTube, and we'll get to hear a couple of their original songs and mashups live in our studio, including one that puts the very sequence we were just talking about to good use. That's coming up next on Soundcheck.
Hey baby, even though I hate you, I wanna love you.
I want you. Ooh.
And even though I can't forgive you, I really want you.
I want you. Ooh.
Tell me, baby, why can't you leave me? Cause even though I should have wanted it, I gotta have it.
I want
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Pop singer Ariana Grande's song Problem has been hovering near the top of the Hot 100 all summer, but this isn't her version of the song. It's a cover by the group called Pentatonix. This five-piece group won the TV a cappella competition called The Sing-Off back in 2011, and since then they've racked up hundreds of millions of YouTube views for their videos of cover songs, originals, and mashups. The group joined us on the show late last year and started us off with one of their originals called Love Again. Here is Pentatonix performing in the Soundcheck studio.
Taste the pain right on my tongue. Nova came to make me numb. Don't you worry, cause the night is young. Dance until the morning sun.
That is Pentatonix live in the Soundcheck studio with their song Love Again. You can hear Pentatonix's latest full-length called PTX Volume 2. They also have an EP out right now called PTXmas. And let me introduce you to the members of Pentatonix. Scott Hoying in the center playing. Would you be the tenor in the
band? Baritone.
The baritone.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it seems like those usual SATB, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, uh-huh. seems like those things are kind of up for grabs with.
Yeah, it's definitely all over the place with us.
Because to your immediate left is Mitch Grassi. And Mitch, there's a girl in the band, but you seem to be the high voice.
I do. I do sing some of the higher parts sometimes, but uh-huh. I'm technically the tenor.
Okay. There was a lot of stuff way above the tenor range yeah. in that song coming out of your mouth. Kirsty Maldonado with us as well. Hi, Kirsty.
Hi.
So are you a soprano as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a mezzo-soprano, so I just cover just whatever notes need to be covered.
Okay. Avi Kaplan playing the bass.
Yes, sir.
Well, that makes it sound like you're playing a bass guitar, singing the bass part.
Yes, that's me.
And Kevin Olushala doing the beatboxing. And
yes, sir.
Vocal percussion and stuff like that,
yes,
which
sir.
Is a little bit of a different sound for a lot of a cappella groups. But so is doing an original song. Scott, who wrote Love Again?
Love Again was written by Kevin and Avi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we just all got together after it was written and we arranged it as a group.
Now, you know, most a cappella groups we think of as doing covers, which, you know, you guys certainly have done and continue to do. Is this something you're trying? Is this a new direction that you're trying to, like, really stake out for yourselves? Is that a group that writes its own material?
Yeah. We're trying to take a cappella to the next level. And so, I mean, we've done really well with covers thus far, but our goal in the end is to be an original artist. And so we're starting to write music, and we're going to kind of see how our fans like it. And it should be a fun journey.
Well, covers were what won you guys the sing-off on NBC in 2011. What was it like being on a reality TV show?
It's crazy. It's way more work than I thought it would be. Like, we would have hours and hours of rehearsal every day.
Yeah, we were constantly busy.
And never have a day off. And if we did take a day off, which we did 1 week, we ended up getting so behind that we never did it again. And so it was just kind of crazy how much you work on a reality show.
How long? This particular one. And how long were you involved in? How long was the process?
Like two and a half months.
11 episodes. 2.5 months, yeah.
What did that experience do to Pentatonix? What were you guys, and I use guys in the gender neutral sense here, what were you guys going into that competition? What are you now coming out of it?
I think going into it was crazy because we didn't know each other that well yet, and we didn't know how we arranged. We didn't know anything. And so we kind of went in just kind of thinking it was going to be a fun thing and we'd get eliminated pretty much immediately. And then as we worked together and got to know each other, we were like, wait, this could be something special. And we learned how to arrange just in a group by ear. And it was such a challenge. But once we started to get into the rhythm of how we do things, it just started taking off.
But now I don't want to give people the impression that some TV producers was a kind of Svengali figure and put you guys together. I mean, you know, you didn't know each other that well, but you formed this band yourselves, right?
Yes. Well, three of us grew up together, so three of us knew each other super well our whole lives.
That's and Mitch and Kirsty?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we found Avi and Kevin. Kevin, who we found on YouTube, and then Avi, we found through a mutual friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned in the sort of intro that you guys have hundreds of millions of YouTube views. There's 27 million just for your Evolution of Music video, which must be a copyright disaster.
Oh, my goodness.
What is that, like 2 or 3 dozen songs in a four-minute piece?
Yeah, around 30. I don't know, 28 to 32. I don't even remember.
Going from the year 1100 to, like, last year.
Yeah.
Right.
So that looks like a lot of fun, but also the kind of thing you're probably not going to be releasing commercially anytime soon.
Correct.
Yeah, probably not performing that on any TV shows or anything.
Yeah.
So, but going into the realm of covers, how do you guys make that decision? How do you decide what's a song that Pentatonix can actually do something new with?
Usually we just talk it over as a group. Some people.
Boy, it's so easy to tell when Avi's
right. That's Kirsty.
Well, it's very easy.
That was actually Kirsty. No, but we usually someone will bring a song to the group, and then we usually choose that one. We rarely, if someone is passionate about a song, we rarely are like, let's not do it. We always give it a shot, but usually ends up happening because usually if one person's passionate about it, we'll all become passionate about it. And then, I mean, sometimes we do voting things with our fans on Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, usually it's a collaborative effort. We all definitely decide on something.
All right. Who brought Hey Mama to the group?
It was a combination of Kevin and I. Kevin came to us and was like, I have this crazy cool verse, blah, blah, blah. And he was singing it to us. And we were like, that's so awesome. And so we just kind of had it for months. And he was like, I still don't have a chorus to it. Mm-hmm. And then one day at the airport, we were discussing covering Hit the Road Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, what if we combined Hit the Road Jack with that verse that you've had for so long? And so we kind of put the two together and it became this mashup of an originals. And then it samples Hit the Road Jack and it ended up being such a fun song. Now it's one of our favorite to perform.
You want to perform it for us?
We would love
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
All right. We're speaking with Pentatonix. The band is performing here in the Soundcheck studio today, their latest full-length record called PTX Volume 2. This, though, a live performance of their song, Hey Mama.
One, two, three.
I'm a gentleman, let me see ya. My independent women, let me see ya. I'm a gentleman, let me see ya.
Hey mama, I don't want no drama, but the way you look ain't making me smile. Hey baby, I know you were a lady, but you lose your dress, girl, I'm liking your style.
Boy,
I know that you don't want to be bothered,
but you
baby,
you made me want to holler.
You know that I am into you.
Why you got to say it?
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more,
no more, no more, no more.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more.
Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more, no more.
Hit the road check. Don't you come back no more.
I'm a gentleman, let me
mama. I know you had a problem, cause the men back then have been all wrong. Hey, baby, I know I'm kinda crazy,
but the size means where you belong.
Hey, just to let you know, I'll make you feel better. Think you left my couple for now and forever. You did me the chance, let me be your man. Why you got to say it's Bojack? Don't you come back no more,
no more, no more.
Pentatonix live in the Soundcheck studio with Hey Mama, which includes some of Hit the Road Jack, which was made famous by Ray Charles, though I don't think he actually wrote it, but that gets woven into that song from the band Pentatonix, performing live here on Soundcheck. Guys, your fans, the Pentaholics, as
yes.
they're known, are threatening to break Twitter. They're just like tweeting us all of these questions, a couple of interesting ones, too. Jamie Lee wants to know, what's the most difficult song to cover?
Oh,
to cover?
One that we do.
Of the ones you do.
Oh. I would say Evolution of Music was very hard to arrange, and it's very hard to sing because it has so many different tonal centers. It just keeps changing keys. Yeah.
One of the great things about that Evolution of Music video, and again, because of all the different songs, people will have to go to YouTube to watch it. It's not going to be on a record. too many rights to clear. But the great thing about it is how you segue seamlessly, often in a matter of a second or two, from one song, you know, from the 1970s to the next song from the 1980s.
No, 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 no.
Mamma mia, mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has the devil put aside for me, for me, for me. Celebrate good times, come on.
Celebration, celebration.
Oh, don't stop. Believe it,
cause this is thriller.
Hey, thriller night.
Can't touch this. Sometimes it can fall apart, but we've actually been okay. We've been okay performance-wise. It's never been bad. But when we were first rehearsing it and arranging it, we were like, what did we get ourselves into?
Tiffany wants to know, aside from fame and touring, what's been the biggest change in your lives since forming Pentatonix?
It was like growing up, going to school and then going to college, it was like you have this schedule and you have to be here, then in the next year you're going to have to be there, then. And now it's like we're making our own schedule and making our own decisions. And it's just, that was kind of crazy because we were thrown into it. It was like, okay.
There's a lot of freedom that comes with it.
There's a lot of freedom that comes with it, which is cool. It's just totally a change.
Well, now, you know, when we think of a cappella groups, especially in this country, it's very often associated with colleges.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you got three of you, Scott, met in high school. Were you also singing together in college?
No. The three of us were in like show choir and a million choirs in high school together, but then we went to different colleges, mm-hmm. and I joined an a cappella group in college, too.
Kevin, you graduated like from Yale, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was an East Asian Studies major in pre-med.
East Asian Studies and pre-med.
Yep.
So lay a little Mandarin on me there.
好,行,您好,我非常的高兴能够来这儿给你们表演啊,谢谢,非常的感谢。
casual.
Show off.
Y'all funny. I made it up. It didn't mean anything.
Same.
The funny thing is Mandarin is a pitched language. It's a tonal language.
It is.
There's a little bit of singing involved because the words will change meaning, right?
Depending yeah. On oh, my gosh. Them. I've had problems with that because I remember I told a girl on the bus, I thought I told her to I could ask her any question, but I told her I would kiss her. So, yeah. So when means to ask and when means to kiss. So I messed that up and I got hit on the bus, so won't do that again.
Nice. And where was this?
This was in Beijing.
Okay. I thought maybe you were going to say, like, Mott Street.
Oh, no. This was straight up in Beijing.
So how long was it when Beyonce surprised everybody with her new record before you guys started pulling it apart and thinking, can we do this song? Can we do that song?
No.
Like,
no
0 seconds.
I'm not kidding. The second I saw that tweet, I was listening to the whole album.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to wrap up with a little bit of Evolution of Beyonce from Pentatonix. Guys, thank you so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Now that you're out of my life, I'm so much better. You thought that I'd be weak without you, but I'm stronger. You thought that I'd be broke without you, but I'm richer. Because my body's too bootylicious for you, baby. It's so deep in your eyes, I touch on you one more at a time. When you leave, I'm begging you not to go. Crying 2-3 times in a row. Come and look at so crazy right now, your love. Come and look at so crazy right now. Come and look at so crazy right now, your touch. Come and look at so crazy right now.
Looking so crazy in love. Come and look at me, looking so crazy in love. Baby boy, stay on my mind. Fulfill my fantasy.
Girl, tell me how you feel.
I think about you all the time. Got me feeling crazy, but I thought I'd see you pretty. Ooh, boy, you're looking like you like what you see. Come over and check up on it. I'ma let you work up on it. Ladies, let them check up on it. Check on me.
Coming up on the show, if you're thinking about starting a band, you'll want to listen to this first, because we're going to talk with one music writer about how to ruin your band name, whether it's with weird punctuation or unpronounceable words or strange animal references. That's coming up next on Soundcheck.
My name is Allie, and I'm from San Francisco. The first album I bought with my own money was Crash by the Dave Matthews Band. I like them, but I don't listen to them very often. Now I listen to similar type music, though. I love Andrew Bird and anything with violins and those types of instruments.
We were above, you were standing underneath us, we were not.
Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. The song you're hearing behind me is Ghost Pressure by the band Wolf Parade. Good tune, but what is a wolf parade? And what is it about wolves that makes so many people name their bands after them? There's Wolf Mother, We Are Wolves, Howlin' Wolf, of course. Well, an overemphasis on animals is one of dozens of ways to ruin your band name. At least, that's according to my guest, Dan Ozzie. He wrote a fairly comprehensive list of what not to do in naming your band for Vice Magazine's music blog, Noisy, where Dan is the editor. You can read his primer on how to ruin your band name at soundcheck.org. Dan, welcome to Soundcheck.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
First of all, a disclaimer. Just because you don't like a band's name doesn't mean you don't like the band, right?
Right. I tried, when I was compiling that article, I tried to focus on ones that were indicative of the band being not good, but there were some good ones on there, and there are some Lots of most bands have terrible names. Some of my favorite bands have terrible names.
So the photo at the top of your article is Hoobastank.
Yes, which people mentioned didn't fit any of the categories.
It is a bad name.
Yeah, they're kind of their own category, which I guess is don't make up a terrible word for Hoobastank. I'm trying to think of a worse word to make up.
Now, if you Google Wolf band names...
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, you forgot one. There's Wolf Eyes.
There's thousands many, of them. I didn't forget one.
There's another one called Wolves in the Throne Room.
There was one of the South By festivals in recent years, a couple of years ago. It was like every other band had Wolf in the name. It was just, what is going on?
Was it the same
here?
Showcase? Somebody should do a Wolf showcase. Where it's just all of those bands put together.
So are you against wolves in particular, or are there other animals that get overused?
I don't even mind if it's Wolf Parade or Wolf Eyes or Wolves in the Throne Room. What seems kind of lame is when bands just... pick an animal and that's the name of their band, i.e., you know, grizzly bear or golden retriever or the mountain goats or foals or panda bear. Like that's
But these are some great bands.
Those are, you know, yeah, they're fine, but I put maybe grizzly bear something or the angry grizzly bears even. I don't know, you know, something.
Yeah.
Something to specify.
They don't sound angry though.
The pleasant grizzly bears. Right. I don't know. I'm not naming the band, I'm just saying.
Well, maybe they should be the pleasant grizzly bear, but to us they're just grizzly bear, and this is what their song Gunshy sounds like.
The cold keeps tearing at me. Slowing down the blood, unable to speak. I left my mind long ago, choosing something false, always letting go. And when I try to face you, you're walking.
That's Gunshy from the 2012 album Shields by the band Grizzly Bear. Dan Ozzie doesn't like that name. You don't like a lot of names, it seems.
I'm not saying... It's really funny because the people that got angry about it, which I... Calm down, first of all. But it's not like a look, like, don't do this. It was more of me just like... You know, I come across a lot of music in my day-to-day, and I notice a lot of... bands that are very similar. So I was like, you know, let me put these into different categories. And when I sat down with it, I was like, you know, there are a lot more bands in these that fall into these categories than I realized.
So this is not a new problem, right? I mean, you know, there have been bad band names going all the way back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the 80s hair metal was an especially bad time for bad names.
But even going back further, you know, I mean, take a name like Led Zeppelin. Which was thought to be a pretty bad name initially and has turned into kind of a classic name.
Yeah, I guess here's the thing about band names. I guess if you're going to name your band something bad, that's fine, but then you own it. You know, you got to make it unabashedly yours, I guess.
Well, and one of the ways that some bands at least have done that, and this is like one of your categories of how to ruin your band name, is to insert kind of nonsense characters into your name.
Yeah, that's a pain as a music writer. Godspeed You, Black Emperor has... I've seen it, Godspeed You, exclamation point. I've seen it, Godspeed You, Black Emperor, exclamation point. So, like, I don't... Yeah.
The exclamation point comes after the U. It's Godspeed You,
Black
exclamation
Emperor.
Point.
But then
Black
shouldn't
Emperor.
It be Godspeed You, comma, Black Emperor?
Yeah, well, do you not sing God Rest You Merry Gentlemen at Christmas? Because you got that comma. Where does the comma go
there? I just
there?
Don't want to have a grammatical discussion over a band name. I just want to listen to the music.
Fair enough. So one example of that, I mean, you mentioned Godspeed You, Black Emperor, the Montreal band, but Panic at the Disco is one that probably more people will know because they're more mainstream band.
I like Godspeed You, Black Emperor. I do not like Panic at the Disco. They have the same sort of name structure, though. Yeah,
the Panic.
Panic.
Panic,
at the disco.
Exclamation point, at
yeah,
the disco.
Yeah,
They make it to Dan Ozzie's article, How to Ruin Your Band Name, which he wrote for Noisy, Vice's music blog, where he's the editor. And this is Panic.
at the disco.
The gnashing teeth and criminal tongues conspire against the odds, but they haven't seen the best of us yet.
This Is Gospel is the name of the song from the band Panic at the Disco. There is an exclamation point after the word panic. And boy, Dan Ozzie, that just gets his knickers in a twist, all of those exclamation points. Sometimes it really can be difficult. It's almost like bands are purposely making it hard for you to be able to say their name.
Right.
There's the band Chick, Chick, Chick.
Chick, Chick, Chick.
The three exclamation points. And one that you... took on in your article and which unleashed a wave of opprobrium was sun.
Yes.
Which is, it's S-U-N-N and then the letter O and then a bunch of closed
parentheses. Yes.
So it looks like Sun-O, which
yes,
is
Sun-O.
Having heard the band but never having heard someone say their name, I thought it was Sun-O.
Yeah, isn't it so funny when you just read about something over and over again and then you have a real world conversation about it and you get to the word and you're like, wait a second, I don't know how to say this. Like,
yeah.
I've just read it a bunch of times. Sun fans were the most vocal about that article. I guess, I don't know, stoner drone rock dudes don't really have much of a sense of humor, but they all let me hear about how they were like, well, actually, if you had done your research, Sun-O... O is a reference to a very loud amp, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is maybe you shouldn't have named it after that amp.
Maybe I shouldn't have to do that kind of research to be able to say your name.
Right. So it's always funny when you're having a conversation and you're like, oh, you know that band Sun? And somebody's like, no, who? Sun O? Oh, yeah, right.
You know, like... Yeah. Well, this is what that band sounds like. This is Sun, and it took the night to believe. That is the band Sun, which, you know, is a kind of a cool band. They have a distinctive sound, but it's spelled S-U-N-N and then the letter O and three closed parentheses. Angry Sun listeners told you, Dan Ozzie, that the O, it was an amp. I had heard that the O and the parentheses were a kind of way of signifying a microphone. So,
oh, interesting. Maybe the amp name came from the, I don't know.
Well, whatever it is.
They're pretty good, so I'll just judge them on their music.
Dan has put them in his article, How to Ruin Your Band Name. Although they've got so much company. You can read the whole thing at soundcheck.org. Dan is the editor at Noisy, Vice's music blog, which is where this article first appeared. You know how people have sort of been riffing on the keep calm and carry on, the British signs from World War II.
Sure.
And so now you can get keep calm and eat pizza or keep calm unless there's no coffee. My favorite is the one that says, stop telling us what to do. and that's basically, that seems to be your problem.
Oh, another one. Yeah, there's a Bring Me the Horizon and...
Say Hi to Your Mom.
Say Hi to Your Mom. A lot of these I'm just kind of poking fun. I genuinely think Say Hi to Your Mom is a terrible name because it always makes me think of that that Mark Wahlberg SNL skit where he's like,
say hi to your mother for me, all right?
And it always makes me think of that. I don't know how they go about their day with that name.
So bands like And You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead.
Also a great band. I think, I don't know if they changed it officially, but I think logistically it probably got annoying. And I know they often go by Trail of Dead.
Trail of Dead,
I don't know
yes.
if that's like their official name now, but...
Do you know this Austin band, I Love You, But I've Chosen Darkness?
Darkness? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Haven't heard much from them lately, but...
Maybe they're editing their name.
Maybe they're editing their name.
my worst, can I just say my worst one, my least favorite name is a band that I put on there called We Butter the Bread with Butter. And I just put the name on there and I hadn't heard them, but I recently like listened to We Butter the Bread with Butter and I found out that they're like a German band. And so I don't know if it... like if it translates better in German.
No.
Or it doesn't. I like to think that like they just came to America and like the first thing they did was go to Denny's and the first thing on the menu that they saw was We Butter the Bread with Butter. And they're like, yep, that's good. I don't know. And that's what they went with.
What about the category of bands with weird or unnecessary punctuation and or numbers?
Yeah, there's that band. Again, it just looks like I sort of look at that band. I think they're pronounced 303. And the band is the number 3 and then the word O and then
right.
3 again and then an exclamation point or something. I don't know. But it's all one... cramped together in one word.
But some of these, I mean, Blink 182,
yeah,
hugely successful.
Blink 182 was a band that people, again, wrote me to tell the origin, as if I didn't know already, I do. Blink 182, there's already a band named Blink, and they changed it to 182. Supposedly, I don't know if this is true, but the rumor is they changed it to 182 because that's the number of times the F word is said in the movie Scarface. So they added 182, and I get that. But again, maybe they could have changed it to just something else entirely. It would be amazing if that kept happening. Like if people kept, like, you know, if people just kept picking band names that were already taken and just adding numbers
like
to them.
Like Gmail addresses.
Yeah, right. But yeah.
All right. Now, we're speaking with Dan Ozzie, editor at Noisy. That's Vice's music blog. He wrote How to Ruin Your Band Name. And there are so many options to you enterprising young bandmates out there. And you can read the whole thing at soundcheck.org. But perhaps the most unforgivable in your list
yes.
are the names that you describe as misleadingly badass.
Yeah, I closed with that. Misleadingly
now, this is
badass.
The opposite of We Butter Our Bread with Butter, which is a very friendly kind of name
like
and then turns out to be a kind of hardcore band.
We Butter the Bread with Butter is like a skunk. Like, it gives off this terrible odor, and it's like, don't go near this animal. And I'm like, okay, cool, I'll stay away, and I did. Some bands, like I first heard the name Warpaint, and I'm a guy who appreciates a good hardcore record. I like a band called War Cry, you know. So I was really amped to hear Warpaint, and I was like, oh, this is not at all what I want to listen to. I mean, they're fine, you know, they're like a kind of twee-ish indie rock band. They're fine, but I was, yeah, kind
the
of...
The name led you to
yeah,
expect something else.
Kind of a letdown, Warpaint, sorry. Again, like it might be something that I could get into had I not had my expectations so high on their band name, you know?
So who's at fault here? Them for the name or you for the expectations?
Man, I don't know. It's just like, I guess not everything is as advertised and I should know better. But I don't know. Maybe they should take a little bit of blame. Somebody brought up a Death Cab for Cutie. And that's an interesting word because it's got the death cab part, which sounds kind of hard.
Right.
And then you have cutie, which sounds a little bit wimpier. So I don't, you know, they sound kind of soft, but if you listen to some of their lyrics, a lot of it is really angry breakup music.
And kind of dark
so,
at times.
Yeah, kind of dark. There's that one song, Someday You Will Be Loved, that's really kind of mean. I think I read an interview with Ben when he wrote that album, and he said something like, people are going to hate me for writing this because it's so mean and selfish. So, all right, I'll give Death Cab for Cutie a pass.
All right. Well, why don't we hear a little bit of them to wrap up? We've been speaking with Dan Ozzie, editor at Noisy, Vice's music blog. You can read his article, How to Ruin Your Band Name, on our website, soundcheck.org. Dan, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has. Thanks so much. What a great name for a show, Soundcheck. Perfect. Soundcheck exclamation point 030312 parentheses.
Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team, with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, Jason Isaac, and George Wellington. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, and Mike Katziff, along with Amy Pearl. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.